I'd ask that you turn with me, please, to the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Easiest way to find Malachi is to go to the book of Matthew and turn towards the beginning of the Bible 1, and because you'll find it right before the first book of the New Testament. The last chapter, the last verses of the Old Testament, of God's word spoken to his people Israel, was recorded to us in the word of God. So let's hear the word of the Lord together. Malachi writes, "Surely the day is coming, and it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day is coming, will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch shall be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses and the decrees and laws I gave to them from Horeb, all Israel. See, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you for the hope we have through you and for the promise, Lord, of your coming and the hope that it gives us of the Son of Righteousness rising. And we thank you, Lord, for the rising of the sun in every new day and the hope that we have through you. Lord, through your word this morning, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Lord, you know each one of us so well. You know the burdens that are on our heart. And I pray that through your word, you will speak to each one of us today, that we all hear and receive from you exactly what we need from you today. Then when we leave here, we can say it's truly been good because you, our Lord, have spoken to us. And we thank you that you speak through your word, and your word is power and life. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Through this Advent season, we have been focusing our thoughts around the theme, Heaven and Nature Sing. And we've been looking at some of the hymns and carols of Christmas and what they have to teach us about the Lord and what we can learn from them as we go to the Word of God, because a lot of them were based on the truth of God's Word. This morning, we want to focus in on Hark the Herald Angels Sing, one of the favorites of Christmas. And many of the carols we sing have a rich theological tradition, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing is no exception to that. It was written by Charles Wesley was the brother of John Wesley, who was the preacher and founder of the Methodist Church. John often did the preaching. Charles often did the hymn writing. Charles Wesley wrote 6,000 hymns, more than any other hymn writer except Fanny Crosby, who wrote 8,000. His goal in writing hymns was to teach the poor and illiterate sound doctrine, and he wanted to put doctrine in his hymns so that people could understand truth as they sang it. His brother John Wesley, a famous theologian, as well. Wesley was inspired by the sounds of London church bells one day walking to church when he wrote the hymn that became Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, Wesley didn't mind his hymns being sung. He wrote them so people could sing them. But a pet peeve of Charles Wesley was he hated when people tinkered with his work. If they would change what he wrote, either change the words or change the timing, he said he wrote it to be sung the way he wrote it. But the hark the herald angels sing, as we have it, exists because someone thought it needed to be changed and reworded to be said better. Here's how he originally wrote it. Hark how all the welkin rings. Those were the words he originally wrote. Now I ask you this morning, does any of you know what a welkin is? And if a welkin rang, would you know it? Or would you know what it is? A welkin, the word welkin is an old English word which basically means vault of heaven. And when Wesley proclaimed that all welkin rings, he was basically saying in the hymn that from top to bottom, all of creation, from the highest to the lowest, is praising out and ringing the glory of heaven. But in 1753, a friend of John and Charles Wesley in the United States by the name of George Whitefield, who was a famous preacher and evangelist in this country, who was very famous for leading into becoming the first Great Awakening, thought that needed to be changed. He said, hark how all welkin rings doesn't make sense. It's not clear. So he changed it to say, hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Which became the version that we sing today. And the song that lives, which becomes more clear, explaining how all of the heavens and angels sing glory to the Lord, which makes a little bit clearer to us of what Charles Wesley was trying to say. But a hymn that we know well. But this morning I want to focus in on, the last verse of that hymn talks about, in the theology he writes about the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. And he took that from the scripture this morning in Malachi. And in Malachi, he gives the prophecy as the Old Testament ends about a coming of the day when the Son of Righteousness, who refers to Jesus, the Messiah, is going to rise. And in that time of darkness, and there would be a time when the people were living in darkness and fear and despair. And in a day, he is going to rise and bring hope. And the Old Testament ends with that promise. And after the Lord had spoken through Malachi in the scripture that I read, 400 years of time had passed when there was not a single word from the Lord. And God promised that someday the Son of Righteousness would rise, and when he does, there would be healing in his wings, and the world would rejoice, and things would be made right. And people were looking for that. For 400 years, God had not spoken. It was quiet. It was silent. No word from God, and people were beginning to lose hope. After 400 years, God sent the angel Gabriel to Zechariah and said, your son, Elizabeth is going to be with child, and he's going to be the forerunner and the fulfillment of what it says here, that I will send the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And after 400 years, God was going to fulfill that word and that promise. And today we have hope because of the Son of Righteousness rising. And we want to focus in on verse 2 this morning of Malachi chapter 4. But for those of you who revere or honor my name, those of us who trust in him and honor the Lord, the Son of Righteousness is going to rise. And he's going to rise with healing in his wings, and we will go out and we will leap with joy over all the earth. And as we think of Christ or in his coming this morning, we will think of the Son of Righteousness and what it means. There's two things we discover from him. The Son of Righteousness gives us hope for a brighter day. With the coming of Jesus and the celebration of Christ and his coming not only now as we celebrate his first coming, but we look forward to his second coming, because Malachi here is talking about the day when he returns in the end times. And the coming of Christ gives us hope for a better day when the Son of Righteousness rises. There's something about a sunrise that fills us with hope, doesn't it? And because the sun brings light where there's darkness. And when God created, the first thing that God created as the Lord of all, he said, let there be what? Light. And then out of the darkness, the world was darkness and void. And God spoke into it and said, let there be light. And he who is light brings that light. And the sun's light shines. And Genesis chapter 1:1, God spoke and said that. In Isaiah chapter 6:60, Isaiah the prophet, talking about the coming of Christ, says that the arise and shine, because your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has dawned upon us. And when Christ comes, he shines the light of his presence into us. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, the scripture says, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and all things were made by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was light, and the light was the life of man. And the light shines in the darkness. So in those times of darkness in our life, in those times of fear, the sun of righteousness is rising, bringing light into our life, and also the light of salvation. The light where he chases the darkness of sin, fear, and doubt away. And our heart, this life is filled with light, and we can rejoice. Bringing the light where there's darkness, the sun brings hope in times of despair. There's something, as I said, about the sunrise that just brings us hope. Now, as these days we come into the winter, don't you hate it when the days get short and the nights get so long? I tell you, it gets to be 7 o'clock at night, and I think it's midnight. Kim and I are in our pajamas ready for bed. We think, man, it's so, I hate these long nights and short days. And you know, there is a disorder, there is this time of the year that affects people. It's called SAD. Have you ever heard of SAD? It's called seasonal affective disorder. That people get that when the days get long, short, and people are affected by that over the winter. They get the wintertime blues, and it really affects them. But there's something about when you're going through that and the days begin to get longer again, that you have hope. I cannot imagine living in Alaska in the winter and having 24 hours of night of darkness. But when after those times of darkness and you see the first glimmer of sunrise, doesn't that give you hope? And that's what Jesus does, that he fills our life with his coming in those times of despair, that he fills our hearts and gives us hope in the midst of it. Now, we sang earlier the story, the hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. But I want to share with you the history behind that story, of how it began to be written. It was written by this man right here, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a very successful and well-known poet from our country in the 1800s. In fact, he got national fame by writing that famous poem about the midnight ride of Paul Revere, won it by two, by sea. He was the one that wrote that midnight ride of Paul Revere poem, became nationally known. Well, they lived up in Massachusetts, and his wife Fanny, who he had dearly loved, and they had a very deep relationship with, they had four children. Her dress got caught in a fire, got caught on fire, and he wasn't in the room when he found out that her dress was full, she was engulfed in flames. He tried to put it out, and he tried to get her on the floor and put it out, and wasn't able to, and she burned to death, and he was badly burned and suffered great burns from that. So great was it that he could not even go to her funeral. And he, from that, the loss of his wife, because she died in a fire tragically before him. He could not save her. He went into a time of grief and despair. And the great poet who had wrote all those wonderful words went silent. And he went into a time of despair and deep depression for years. 2 years of time had passed, and his oldest son, during the Civil War, had broken out, went into the military, without his father's knowledge. And it's just, I'm going to go. His dad did not want him to go, but he went anyway. So Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote to the governor of Massachusetts and the senator, who were friends of his, and said, take care of him. Make sure he's not put in any danger, any front lines. But he put himself, but his son, Charles, elevated himself well and soon was into a battle and was shot. The word got back to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow that he was shot and was fatal. And he thought that he was died, but here he was just shot, but he wasn't fatal, but he was in serious condition. He was taken to New Hope Church, and from there, his condition was very serious. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow went to find him on December 25th. And in grieving, his son took 6 months to recover. So he lost his mother, he lost his wife. His son was wounded in battle in the Civil War, and he was going through this time of grief. December 25th, 1863, Christmas morning, he was awake, he was sitting in grief, and he was trying to write again. And he heard the bells ringing out from the church in Cambridge. And he heard the sound of singing, of people singing, goodwill, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he said, but it's mocking the song of peace on earth. But the more he listened to the bells ring, the hope began to ring up inside him. And he wrote those words, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It was Christmas morning. Their old familiar Christmas carols play, wild and sweet, the words repeat, a peace on earth, goodwill to men. And he said, I thought how the days had come, the belfries in all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. He said, but in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate's strong and mocks the song. But he said, the bells pulled more loud and more deep. God isn't dead. God isn't asleep. And his hope and his despair was turned into hope when he heard the bells ringing out that Christ was born. And that hope came. The Son of Righteousness rose in his heart and turned his despair into hope. And that's what Jesus does for us in his coming, friends. Because Emmanuel is with us, he never will leave or forsake us. And as Dell Tackett reminded us this week, which has stuck with me, God forsook and turned his back on his own son out of his love for us, but he will never forsake us. And he will never leave us. And it gives us hope. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing in life in those times of despair, know that the Son of Righteousness is here. And there's hope, even in the darkest of dreamest of times. And the Son brings joy because he set us free. Look at verse 3. He says, when the Son of Righteousness comes and rises in our heart, you will go forth and leap like calves released from the stall. And he said, that's the joy he brings in us, because when he comes into our life, he sets us free from the sin, from all that has enslaved us, and we have joy in our heart and we can truly rejoice. The message of the angels was, don't be afraid. I bring you tidings of great joy, which is for all the people. And Malachi says, you will go out like a calf released from the stall. And the picture here is a cow that is in a stall, a little calf that is raised. Have you ever seen those little stalls where the calves are in, they're raising them, and they're tiny, and they let them out, and they start leaping through the field, and they're happy to be out of that stall. And the word for stall here, the Hebrew word for stall here, means a place where animals are put to be fattened up for slaughter. So if you were released from a place that you were being fattened up for slaughter, wouldn't there be great joy? About a year or so ago, maybe it was longer than that, I was working in the office and Kim was upstairs, and we see this cow running through the yard. And Kim says, look, there's a cow out there. And it was running along the fence down here along the stream. And here, trying to catch this cow, was Timothy Zimmerman, our neighbor. And he's running, trying to catch this cow with a shotgun. And he's trying to take a shot at this thing. And every time, there was other cows that were following it from our neighbor's Charles's. And they were running against each other back on the along the fence. And Timothy's trying to chase after this thing with the shotgun. And the cow's running. And he couldn't get it. And it said, only in Chicken Town would you see this. So we were watching this. He was trying to get it. And he couldn't catch it. A little bit, we're watching, and then the cow goes up the road. It starts going up the road and goes towards Charles, and it's gone in their barn. And we're watching this thing. Timothy's trying to chase after with the shotgun. He never did get it. A little bit later, we see Timothy Zimmerman coming down with a front end loader. And we see him having the cow in the bucket in the front. And I said, you got it. He said, yeah. I said, what happened? He said, oh, he said, I was supposed to butcher it. Someone brought it for butchering. I was getting ready to butcher it. When I did, it got loose. See, it thought it was free. It thought it was free from the stall. And it was running with joy. It didn't want to be butchered. And it was set free. But that's what Malachi is telling us here, that when the Son of Righteousness runs in our heart, he fills us with joy because we have been set free and the burden and weight of sin has been taken from us. That death sentence that was passed on us has been commuted, and we have been set free. And we can go out with joy and we can rejoice, because the Son of Righteousness has risen in our heart. Our dog Cooper, after he's been penned in the house and cooped up in the house all day, I take him outside, and man, he likes to run in the yard and run and play and leap for joy. And that's something about that freedom that we have, that joy that we have in us that comes from Christ. He brings joy because that is free. Praise God. And the Son of Righteousness brings right where there is wrong. He said that we will trample on those. He said that in that day is coming, it will burn like a furnace, that every evildoer, there will not be a branch or bear left to them, but those who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, will run. In that day when the Lord comes, he will make everything right. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. The scripture ends with this promise as we look at the last book of the Old Testament and look at the last book of the New Testament. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 27, this John says, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord Almighty and its lamp are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And the lamp is its lamp, and the nations will walk in its light, and the king of the earth will bring their splendor into it. And on that day, the gates will not be shut, for there will be no more night there, no more darkness. The old order of things will be passed away. All will be made right when the Lord comes again, and when the Son of Righteousness rises. That's our hope. So with the coming of the Son of Righteousness, friends, there is hope for a brighter day. And things, not only now, but when he returns. But when the Son of Righteousness rises, verses 2, he also comes with healing for a broken world. It says he rises with healing in his wings. And our Lord comes to heal us, not only the world who is broken, but our lives and our hearts. And that was why he had come, because that relationship had been broken in the garden. And the Lord had come to heal that brokenness and to restore us. And his wings restore us when we are sick. When he rises with his healing in his wings. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5 says, by his stripes we are healed. And he brings healing to us. And in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 2, it says, "In that day, the river of life in that new city of Jerusalem, the river of life will flow forth from the Lamb of God and from his presence and will bring healing to the nations." His wings restore us when we are sick. And you say, what kind of sickness? Well, he brings spiritual healing. And he heals our spirit from the sickness of sin and from the sickness of fear and doubt and all those things that affect us spiritually. He heals that through Christ. He brings emotional healing. In those times when we need emotional healing, he brings healing there. He brings relational healing in healing broken, damaged, and hurt relationships. Our Lord can heal and restore those. Do you believe that? He can. And he brings physical healing. And he brings that to us through his wings of healing and protection. But also his wings shelter us when we need protection. The word of God says that the Lord enfolds his wings over us and he covers us with his wings, and under his wings we find refuge. In those times when we need protection from our enemy, he covers us over with his wings as a mother hen gathers its chicks underneath and protects it. So God puts his wings of protection over you and me and keeps us covered here under his wings of protection. And there we find shelter from the enemy, from the storms of life that blow our way. That's why the house on the rock stands, because he covers us over with his wings, shielding and protecting us. And we find strength in him. Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. Boaz said to Ruth, "May you find favor in the God and refuge under the God under whose wings you have come to find refuge." And in Psalm 17, turn with me, we're going to look at several of the Psalms here for a moment. As we see the wings of God's covering us, Psalm 17, verse 8, the psalmist says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings." While we're in Psalm 36, verse 7, as we talk about the shelter and protection of the Lord, in his wings, he says, "Or how precious is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings." Psalm 61, verse 4. Again, the shelter we have says, "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge or shelter or protection in the shelter of your wings." And in Psalm 91, verse 4, one of my favorite psalms, the psalmist talked about that again, says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." That the Lord puts his wings of protection over you and me, and he keeps us safe there, that the enemy can't touch us when his wings are covering us. So his wings shelter us when we need protection. They heal us when we are sick. But his wings also strengthen us when we are weak. One of my favorite scriptures, in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 31 to 30 to 31, says, "Even youth grow weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait and trust and hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." In those times when our strength fails us, he said, even young men grow weary. As we get older, it doesn't take much for us to get weary, does it? Sometimes we can get weary physically, we can get weary spiritually, we can get drained, but in those times when we need strength, God's wings are there to lift us up underneath and to give us the strength to soar as high as an eagle. And he gives us the strength that we need as we soar and are lifted up under his wings. And on his wings, we find that strength. The Son of Righteousness will arise when he comes with healing in his wings, giving us the strength that we need when ours is gone. That's why he was able to say to Paul that my grace is sufficient for you and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because he lifts us up on eagle's wings so that we can fly, so that we are strengthened and soar with the eagles. And his wings nurture us when we need care. That just as a mother hen gathers her little chicks underneath her wings and covers them over, so the Lord gathers us under his wings and loves to care and cares for us. Have some other references for you. You can write these down. I'm not going to look at all of them. But he talks about that in Exodus chapter 19:4. He said, I carried you and brought you out of Egypt and brought you to myself. But we do want to look at this one, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 and 11. And listen to what the Lord says about his care for us as he nurtures us under his wings of protection and care. That when we need that nurture, we need that care to know that our Father is intimate and cares about us deeply. Where he says this. He said, in a desert he found them, verse 10, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded them and cared for them. He guarded them like the apple of his eye, verse 11. Like an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, it spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. He says, just as, that's how the care the Lord has for us. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, the Lord looking out over Israel on the day when he went into Palm Sunday, went into Jerusalem, and they had turned their back and rejected him. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I had longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers its chicks to its side and have you under my wings and care for you and nurture me. He said, but you have not were willing. But the Lord's desire to gather us and to nurture us and to care for us. And that's the kind of relationship he has with you and me. That tender care. When we need nurture, his wings are there, shielding and protecting and guarding and caring for us and keeping us safe and strengthening us. Under his wings, we find refuge. On his wings, as we soar, we find strength. His wings nurturing and protecting and shielding and caring for us as a mother cares for its chicks. That's how deeply God cares for you. And that was why he left heaven. That was why he came to earth. And the Son of Righteousness rising in the midst of the darkness, bringing us that hope for a better day and healing from the brokenness in our heart, that through him, his wings of protection cover us. So hail the Son of Righteousness. Hail the one who comes with healing in his wings. Charles Wesley captured that, and it was that thought that he was expressing in that hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And that's why heaven and nature joined together in expressing joy to the coming of the King of Kings, the Son of Righteousness, who has risen in our hearts and will someday rise when he comes again, bringing that hope for a better day. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Son of Righteousness who has come, and after 400 years of silence, when there was no word from you, the sun rose and dawned, and the Son of Righteousness came and brought light and salvation and hope to all the world. And Lord, in our times of despair, in our times of darkness, your Son rises in us, giving us hope. That just as Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was reminded when he heard the bells ringing on Christmas morning, that there is peace and goodwill, that the wrong will fail, the right will prevail, that there is hope with you in the coming of Jesus. And Lord, may your Son rise within us. And Lord, may your wings be spread over us, shielding us with your protection, giving us strength in time of need, nurturing us and caring for us so deeply as a mother hen cares for its chicks, so you care and nurture us under your wings. And we thank you, Lord, that you have that healing in your wings to restore us back into that relationship with you. So thank you, Lord, for coming, for the joy that set us free, that we can go out like a calf being released from the stall of slaughter, and we can rejoice because we have been set free, and that sentence has been taken off of us, and we are free in you. So thank you for what the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, has done in us and for us. And we look for that day when his Son, the sun will dawn, and he will return again, and all wrong will be made right. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for coming to us, and the hope that you've given us. And that hope sustains us as we live for you each and every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.